when we talk about aggressive kingdom advancement, and we're talking about right now the seven spheres of cultural influence, I'm focusing on family today, and then we want to move through the rest of them, and then we may come back and do something a little more concentrated around these topics. But in this area of aggressive kingdom advancement, I believe right now, all over the body of Christ, there is a stirring that's in the hearts of many. For many, it's a holy discontent of not being satisfied with the status quo. I want you to know that that stirring is from God. But I also want you to know that stirring is not for you to run away. It's for you to get closer. That stirring is for you to find your tribe, find your community, and connect and press into what God has for you and what God desires to do through you. The scripture, foundational scripture that we speak from relative to aggressive kingdom advancement is Matthew 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Basically, what that scripture is helping us to understand, or what Jesus was saying, is you're going to have to fight for this. You're going to have to fight for this. Paul talks about fight the good fight of faith. You will contend for your faith. You will contend for the reality of your faith, the fruit of your faith being manifested in your life. You have to fight for that. Or else you can go all of your life and certain things will never happen because you never really understood that we are in a battle. We are in a fight. I will also say to you that certain things won't happen without levels of discipline in your life. Yesterday, I came across the statement that God spoke to me years ago. It's something that we had posted. I tried to post it like three different times on Facebook and it just wouldn't post. And I said, man, something ain't working with this, or maybe the devil's trying to keep me from just sharing this thought again. But it was this thought. This is what God spoke to me years ago when I was praying and I was asking him, why are certain things happening in my life? Why are the prophetic words that I've been getting, why are they not being fulfilled? God, are you hearing these words I'm getting? Okay, so just think about what I just said. That's, you know, you didn't gone off when you start thinking like that, okay? So God, aren't you hearing the words I'm getting? And I remember I was in a hotel room down in Destin, Florida. And I was down there for a conference, and I was just talking to the Lord. This is what he said to me. He said, to the degree that you're willing to discipline your life is to the same degree that I will fulfill what I've shown you. Yeah, I'm just going to, Pastor Deborah, I'm just going to give you a minute to type that one in So to the degree that you're willing to discipline your life is to the same degree that I will fulfill what I've shown you. And what I know about that is that's not a one-time statement. Some of you right now are in a place of pressing into new disciplines because you see some things on the horizon that God wants to do in you, through you, and for you. But it's taking a different kind of discipline now than the discipline that's been in the past. To the degree that you're willing to discipline your life is to the same degree that I will fulfill what I've shown you. And I'm just going to stay here for just a moment. This is not in my notes, but it's Holy Spirit. And so I remember when God spoke that to me. Because here's the thing that we can often run into if we're not careful. And that is, you can receive these incredible prophetic words and all of a sudden you start thinking you're ready when you're really not ready. And so I want to submit to us in this season that some of us are still in that readying stage. And the word, and again, I tried to post it three times and it wouldn't post. So I'm saying it now, y'all. I'm talking to those that are watching. I'm saying it now. Yeah, it's on the message now. To the degree that you're willing to discipline your life is to the same degree that I will fulfill degree to which I will fulfill what I have shown you. Yeah, so that's just a word that I want to get out into the atmosphere. For many of you, that may be resonating. How many of you would say that word's speaking to me right now? Yeah, it should be speaking to all of us because we're all in process. We're all in progress. Brothers, you hear what I'm saying to you today? That word right there is your word. To the degree that you're willing to discipline your life is to the same degree that I will fulfill what I've shown you. You got to know that some things, that counseling can only do certain things. You got to know that processes will only do certain things. But at a certain point, you got to really walk in a place of discipline. And I want you to know that God will use everything in your world to bring you to that place of discipline if you will understand the place where you find yourself and what's going on in your life. And so that is a reality. So in this place of aggressive kingdom advancement, God has spoken this word to us concerning aggressive kingdom advancement. An unwavering, uncompromising attitude and mindset that is exhibited by one's unrelenting pursuit of a goal or objective with fierce determination and resolve that even in the face of great opposition, there is only one outcome, victory. Now, I said I wasn't going to say a lot about today's game, but how many of you know that both those teams that come out on that field, this is what they're thinking? When they run out on that field, they have an unwavering, uncompromising attitude and mindset that's exhibited through their unrelenting pursuit of a goal or objective with fierce determination and resolve that even in the face of great opposition, meaning the other team, there's only one outcome, victory. See, this statement is a statement of life. It's a statement of life. It's just not about this time we're in. It's a statement of life. Now, for one, only one of the teams will this be their reality, but they're both stepping on that field with this same posture, this same place. As God is speaking to us concerning aggressive kingdom advancement, he's spoken to me about the seven spheres of cultural influence. They've been identified as family, government, education, religion, business/economics, media, arts and entertainment. You'll see the statement there, as the church, we must discern the times, look beyond the current conditions, see the opportunities, pray for wisdom, and seize the moment to offer real Holy Spirit transforming solutions in every sphere. That's what we are called to do. That's what we have missed out on doing. And now is our opportunity again. Now is our opportunity again. Now is our opportunity again. Just somebody say amen. Amen. Now is our opportunity again. Amen. And so I've chosen to focus a little, starting out on the family. The reason being is because the family is the foundation of it all. Family is the foundation of it all. Households are the foundation of it all. You and I are byproducts of the households we were raised in. We are working through how we were raised. Who raised us? In what environment were we raised? And so years ago, God spoke to me concerning what we called a godly household. Now, this statement isn't about a place of perfection. It's really about a place of acknowledging God and continuing to acknowledge him. And so this is the statement that God gave me years ago concerning a godly household. A household where the lordship of Jesus Christ is acknowledged and the affairs of the household, spiritually, financially, socially, relationally, emotionally, and physically, are governed by the word of God. That's how you establish a godly household, by putting him in his right place in every area. Some of the scriptural references, if you're taking notes that you can write down, would be Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 12. We looked at it in an earlier teaching where God is speaking through Moses, telling them, when you come into the promised land, he says, you are to talk about me in your rising up, your lying down, when you're eating, wherever you're at. He says, make me a part of it. This is how you and I create and maintain a godly household, or, if you will, create an atmosphere in our homes where God is continually present. The challenge for us today is that for many, we did not put the emphasis in the home, but more about going to church, taking our family to church. Now, that's not a bad thing, but it's not as effective as you and I having created that atmosphere that's continual. Here is just an extension of your life, or should be. It should be just an extension of your spiritual life, your spiritual walk. You can also, in your time, and we may reference these a little bit, depending on how much time we have today, but in Ephesians 5, 21 through Ephesians 6, 4, is really where it speaks of the household and it speaks of the married couple. Okay, don't go to that slide yet because I'm not going there right now. So even though you put that up there, I need you to stay on a godly household slide because I'm moving past that and I may come back to that, okay? Thank you. So I'm paraphrasing it right now. It speaks of the husband, it speaks of the wife, it speaks of the children. It talks about how the husband should relate to the wife, how the wife should relate to the husband, but then it also talks about how parents relate to the children. It talks about the children, how they should relate to their parents. So that particular passage of scripture really speaks under the, if you will, the relational aspect in the home. But last week I covered spiritually, and I just, again, you could spend weeks and weeks and weeks on each one of these. But I spoke about spiritually, and this is what it says here. It says, it is the responsibility of the parent or parents or guardian to teach their children or the household about the Lord. The head of the house is to lead the family spiritually. And it's in Acts chapter 10 where we see that with Cornelius. Because when Cornelius had prayed and seeking God, and then in chapter 9 of Acts is where God sends a message to Peter in a dream. Peter ends up at Cornelius' house, but when it gets there, it says his whole household. Say whole household. So that meant everybody there, not only his immediate family, but all of his servants, everybody was considered part of that household. And everybody that day got saved. Everybody that day entered into the kingdom of God. There is this responsibility that we have, you have, if you're the head of your household. Now, you may be a single parent. You may be a guardian over a child. If you're the head of the household, it's still your responsibility. In Proverbs 22 and 6, and this is from Message Bible, point your kids or children in the right direction, and when they are old, they won't be lost. Simply meaning, if you deposit it in them now, it's a good chance later it will connect for them. Amen. It'll connect for them. Amen. It's in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. I reference also again Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 12. It says this. This is Joshua. If you decide, Message Bible, that it's a bad thing to worship God, meaning Yahweh, Jehovah, then choose a God, little g, you'd rather serve, and do it today. It says choose one of the gods, little g, your ancestors worship, from the country beyond the river, or one of the gods of the Amorites, on whose land you're now living. As for me and my family, or in the King James, it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my family, we will worship God. I want to tell you that that's where we find ourselves in this time in a very crucial way. Because it's been offered, or if you will, it's been taught that there's so many options, so many ways that you and I can go. And for the younger generation, it's even more crucial. But this is where we as believers, as mature believers, have to be willing to speak up. I'm talking about aggressive kingdom advancement. Not be timid about it. See, for some of us, and some of the people we relate to, we just need to say, no, you're just wrong. You're just wrong. I can't placate that. I can't smooth it over. I just have to tell you, you're wrong. I remember on one occasion, I was speaking with someone, and this person was very adamant and very enjoying the fact that, well, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I said, oh, really? Enjoy it while you can. Because I'm like, I'm not going to play with that. Oh, that's where you're at? Okay, well, enjoy it while you can. Because the day will come. And hopefully before you leave the planet, that you come into that reality and that you really do recognize that there is a God and that God sent a Savior through his son, Jesus Christ, and that you open your heart and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But I just simply say, enjoy it while you can. Because you may leave here and realize in eternity that you were wrong. We have to live in a space now, aggressive kingdom advancement. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. And my encouragement is that you and I, particularly with our families, that we're able to speak truth right into the situation. Not be ashamed, not be timid about it. Spiritually, it is our responsibility. The second thing that I want to talk about here over the next few moments as it relates to the family, and again, we're talking about the family, and we're talking about a household where the lordship of Jesus Christ is acknowledged and the affairs of the household spiritually, financially, socially, relationally, emotionally, and physically are governed by the word of God. I want to talk a little bit about financially. I want to talk about financially. Again, hear me. Each one of these, you could spend weeks on them. But what I want to talk about is the spiritual aspect, if you will, the spiritual requirement for you and I as it relates to finances and financially. God is to be honored in our finances. We do that by putting him first. Our giving of tithes and offerings demonstrates our faith and trust in God. It is part of our worship of him. It is part of our worship of him. I wasn't taught really about the principle of tithing in the church as a child and coming up. Every church does offerings, but they do it different ways, and they didn't emphasize tithing, and they didn't really emphasize it as worship. But in my pursuit of God and my desiring to know him and to know his ways, I came into the knowledge of tithing, that tithing isn't about law. It really is about grace. That God doesn't want us to give him anything that we do not want to give in and of ourselves. Yes. The scriptures speak to that. He doesn't want you to give begrudgingly or under compulsion. He wants you to give out of a generous heart. Yes. One of the things that I believe, one of the things I know to be a reality in my life and for my family is because we have understood that principle of tithing, God has continued to bless us. God has continued to bring increase into our lives. And now our children are living out that same principle. And by God's grace, teaching our grandchildren to live out that principle as well. Financially, Malachi 3, 8 through 12, this is from the Message Bible. It says, begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? It says, but you rob me day after day. You ask, how have you robbed me? How have we robbed you? The tithe and the offering, that's how. Now, before I go any further, let me share the economic system that God had set up. And it was this system. When they came into the promised land and inheritance was given out, God said to the Levites, you don't get any of that. I'm your inheritance. I'm your inheritance, and I will take care of you. Then he says to all of the other 11, he says, but you will tithe. As a matter of fact, Jesse Duplantis did a great teaching on, he entitled it, Why Isn't My Giving Working? And he gave four particular opportunities of giving that keep you and I in a perpetual harvest. Say perpetual harvest. So if you're taking notes, I want you to just write down these four things. Tithe, first fruits, seed, alms. Tithe, first fruits, seed, alms. Say it with me. Tithe, first fruits, seed, alms. Now, if you as an individual, if you as a household, if you implement and practice these things, make them a part of your worship life, you will always have resources to work with. You will always have resources to work with. I'm going to show you what he says here in a moment. You will always have resources to work with. One of the things, there's so many things people are doing right now that really are not scriptural or biblical around finances and around giving. I heard recently where a ministry decided to challenge their people by saying, you know, we want to challenge you to tithe, and we challenge you to a 90-day commitment of tithing, and if at the end of the 90 days you don't see an increase, we will refund your tithe. Now, I don't know who thought that up, but that's not God's economy. God doesn't need anybody to guarantee him. It's the other way around. So I'm concerned because I know some folks that are doing that. And it's not right. God stands on his word. When it says here, he says, you've robbed me. What he's saying is, you stopped providing what needed to go into the storehouse so I could honor my word with the Levites and the widows and the orphans. Because those of the tithe, first fruit, seed, alms, those things given were often, not often, were given to go into the storehouse so that those in that region would be taken care of. And all God was saying is the tithe. The way God's economy works is, and this is what the scripture says out of Corinthians, where it says, he gives seed to the sower. He gives seed to the sower and bread to eat. That's what the word says. He gives seed to the sower and bread to eat. Meaning, God says, here's my commitment to you. Now, we're talking about this financial piece as it relates to the godly household. And I'm just saying this. I sense this even as I'm saying it. For many of you, if you will, as of today, begin to apply this, you're going to see God move. And this ain't about getting a rebate if it doesn't happen. Okay, either God's word works, either God is a God of integrity, or he's not. And he is. He is. But this is how, this is God's commitment. He's saying, I just need you to be the individual, the vessel I can flow through. He's not saying you figure out how to get it. You figure out how to make it. He's saying once you have proven to me your stewardship of the resources I bring to you, then I know I can trust you with greater resources because I know that you will do with them what I require of you, what I desire of you, and what I ask of you to do. And I will always give you enough. I will always give you more than enough so that you will be blessed even as I'm using you to bless others. How many of you want to live in that place? Come on. So well-meaning people are trying to come up with different plans as to get more monies coming in. You'll never hear us do that here. You will never hear us do that here. Because either it's God or it's not. So it says this again. Let me read this. Well, hold on. Let me finish this point. So what God was saying to those that robbed him, he says, listen, my issue with you is I made a promise. He's saying, my word is on the line. How dare you be the block? How dare you be the holdup? Yeah, I got an issue with you. Because this is the way I established it. And my priests and my Levites and the widows and the orphans are not being taken care of the way that I intended, because you are not honoring your commitment and my covenant with you. And when you look in the Old Testament, you see over and over how God established it so everybody's need would be met. So here, going back to Malachi 3, 8 through 12, says, you ask, how have we robbed you? He says, the tithe and the offering, that's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. What's that curse? It just simply says, God says, I'm shutting it down. I'm closing up the heaven. I'm closing up shop. I'm closing the storehouse. Because until you honor my word and honor what I've set in place, there's no need for me to keep bringing it to you, keep giving it to you. That's why he says this. Bring your full tithe, the whole tithe, to the temple treasury, so that there will be ample provision where? In my temple. Bring your whole tithe, not some of it. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury so that there will be ample provision in my temple. Bring your whole tithe into the fellowship so that there will be ample provision. This must be a Selah moment, because I ain't heard one amen or oh my or nothing. Eyes are like this. I know this maybe feel a little sobering, but I'm wanting to help us understand maybe why some things are not in place the way that they should be in your home, in your finances. Are y'all enjoying this, man? Okay, so y'all shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm just going, just give me 17 more minutes. Somebody look at the clock like, okay, thank you, Jesus. I can't rush through this. It's too important. I need some financial breakthroughs. I need some financial breakthroughs on the million-dollar level, on the millions of dollar level. I need some breakthroughs. And I believe that God's intended to bring it as I continue to steward what he gives me. I like to be generous. That's just me. I like to be generous. And as a result, people are generous to me. I was sitting with someone recently, and we were talking, we were praying about finances and praying about the things that, you know, we want to do here at the embassy. And this, you got to know, this is not about us. This is about what God wants to do here at the embassy, what God wants to do for this community. And it's going to take millions of dollars in order to get everything where it needs to be and to be able to have the reach that we're supposed to have. And I got faith for millions of dollars. I got faith for it. I said, I got faith for it. I got faith for it. And I'm sitting there, and we're in my office praying, and the person says to me, we're praying, she says, I just hear 5 million. I hear 5 million. I said, wow, really? I said, you know what? And I thought about something. I'm sitting across the table from a guy, and we're eating a couple months back. He says to me, he says, you know, I just feel like God wants me to give you this 5x7 card. And what he wrote on it was 5 million. $5 million. He said, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he just told me to tell you $5 million is coming. So this person sitting in my office, when they said, I just hear 5 million, I see 5 million. Now, for those of you that happen to be watching, if you think that this is about money, yes, it is. Because it takes money to get things done. There is not one business owner. There is not one entrepreneur. There's not one person who is employer and not the employee who doesn't think about how to get more money to get more things done. So I make no apologies in what I'm talking about right now. Hallelujah. I'm speaking it forth in faith, and some of you, if not all of you, need to do the same thing right now. Right now. Right now. See, I took that, Gary, as a word. When I'm sitting in my office and we had no conversation at all, and this person says, I see 5 million. I said, okay, that's the second time. So the scripture talks about it being confirmed in the mouth of two or three. But the next time it's confirmed, I'm expecting it to be the check. And what you have to recognize is you got to be able to see past your space, your world, your home address, your community, however your world is, and recognize there's a vast world out here and believers everywhere. And all it takes is one believer who understands this principle we're talking about. And God says, I need you to write a check for 5 million and put it in the mail to this person right here. So the day that happens, I'll let you know. See, what God is addressing here to the people is, I'm blessing you, but my priests, the Levites, the widows and orphans are missing out. And they're missing out because what I've blessed you with is more than enough so that you will sow, that you will give. And as you do that, your household will always be taken care of, Sean. Always. Always. Because while there may be well-meaning people who want to give a condition of a rebate if your tithing doesn't work, God doesn't say that. But this is his commitment. He says, bring your full tithe to the temple treasury so that there will be ample provision in my temple. Meaning, the priests will be taken care of. They will be able to meet the needs of the widows and the orphans. Then he says this, test me. King James says, prove me herewith. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. He says, I need to restore some things quickly. I need to make some restitution on some things quickly. And so you honor me by honoring the covenant. He says, prove me and watch and see. If I don't open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings that you will not have room enough to receive, meaning now I'm going to make it up. Hear me. Hear this. He's saying, I'm not making it up to you. I'm making it up to them. Oh, you got to get that. You got to realize, more often than not, it's not about you. I'm talking to those of you watching by way of live stream as well. It's not about me. It's about others. And God is saying, prove me herewith and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour out. He says, I'm going to move in such a way that you will be inconvenienced by the blessings I'm about to pour on you. But know this. That inconvenient blessing is not about you. It's so that you will tithe and bring back to those who have been in need all and even more. For that's how I honor my word. He is not only a God of restoration, he is a God of restitution. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, he says, I will defend you against the marauders, protect your wheat fields and vegetations, gardens against plunderers. You know what he's saying? He says, and if you do this, he says, I'm going to protect everything you got. Your car won't break down. Your water heater won't go out. Your air conditioner won't break in the middle of July in 90 degree weather. You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. Because you see, when you and I live in that place of stewardship, and I'm going back to what I said, to the degree that you're willing to discipline your life, to the same degree I will fulfill what I've shown you. When you live in that disciplined place of worship through your giving, God will continually bring to you. But not just that. He says, in that which you already have, I'm going to take care of it for you. God says, because you've made this commitment to me, I will defend against marauders, protect your wheat fields and vegetation. Your vegetable gardens against plunderers. It says the message of God of the angel army says you'll be voted happiest nation. You'll experience what it's like to be a country of grace. God of the angel armies says so. That's the commitment. And when we teach this and implement this in our households, we will always, always, always see provision. How many can testify to that? Over and over. Always see provision. Meaning that, even if something happens, hear me, even if something happens, God's going to lead you in a way to be able to get it done, get it handled by his favor and by his grace. Come on. Come on. I got just a couple more minutes, and I just don't want to rush myself. I feel like this is key and this is crucial. Part of the reason I feel that way is because as we came into this year, one of the things that God spoke to me under this banner of aggressive kingdom advancement, he said there are certain things, John, that will not happen except that you aggressively pursue it. There are resources that will not come to you except that you aggressively pursue them. He said, there are finances that will not come to you except that you aggressively pursue it and give yourself to my leading. So I came into this year with this thought in mind. that by the end of this year, I'm expecting our house to receive a minimum of $500,000. You remember me saying how that I feel like in my mind this shift took place, that, you know, once God has moved you into the $1 million realm, $1 million becomes like $100,000. So if God's saying, son, I'm going to bring $5 million to you, then okay. So I'm thinking, okay, so let me believe for $500,000. Now I'm waiting for the $5 million, but let me believe for the $500,000. Because when I look around, I see new, nicely renovated, decorated bathrooms. And I need about 7 more of y'all to clap with the 5 just clapping right now. I'm casting vision. I see a brand new parking lot, black top and striped. You can't see these things, but I see them. I see nicely brand new HVAC units on the roof so that air conditioning is here when we need it, as God has provided the heat. I see a completed roof where there's nothing leaking. There's nothing that we have to deal with there. I see the renovation of our hallways, where now I see placards and I see pictures on the wall and I see statements that are made that cause people to walk in and recognize that this is a place of great influence, where there's the word of God and there are statements of faith that have been made that are statements for our house that are all over the building. I see our floors pristine and shining. I see brand new lights that are up on in the hallways and in here that are not dated, but they're contemporary in their expression. I see a second service taking place where we've been able to reach out into the community, and now the Spanish-speaking community is starting to come in because we've had the resources to set it up so that whatever's happening for that community is no less than what happens in this space when we come together. See, I'm not talking about money just for the sake of having money. I'm talking about being able to reach into the community and be able to accomplish things that God would be glorified in. I see our landscaping in place, that when people drive by, they recognize there's something different about this location in a community that still needs to be transformed. I need you to just clap your hands right there if you're joined to this house. You see, this teaching has to be beyond you. It has to be beyond me. And $500,000 is a drop in the bucket. It's just a drop in the bucket. But it's a beginning. It's a beginning. And I just feel led to say to you, join your faith with my faith. Join your faith with my faith. Because I'm extending my faith concerning you. I need you to know that. I'm extending my faith concerning your household. That every bill is paid, every need is met, and that you got money in the bank. If you cash app, somebody's cash apping you every now and then just to bless you, to bring increase to you. And when God speaks to you and says, I want you to bless so-and-so, you don't ask why. You just bless them. Whether you put something in their hand, you put something in the mail, you cash app them, or you say, God, just show me how to get it to them. And then you get it to them. And I'm telling you this, when you do that, what you're going to find is what I just read to you. God is going to begin to open up heaven and pour out inconvenient blessings into your life because he knows that he can trust you with those resources. So that when funds come to you that you were not expecting, you're not now thinking about all the things you can buy for yourself. You take a moment, you pause, you pray, you set it to the side just long enough to hear what God is saying, because he may say to you, this isn't really for you. This is for so-and-so. But I know I can trust you to get it to them. And then you respond in obedience. And I'm telling you, out of that, you will see greater increase coming to you. You will see perpetual harvest. If you are one who gives out of the place of tithe, first fruits, what are first fruits? First fruits are when God brings increase to your life, that increase, you immediately sow it. That's first fruits. First fruits can be increase on your job. You get a raise. Whatever that raise amount is, you sow that. First fruits. The first fruits is saying, God, I'm honoring you with first fruits because I first denotes a second. Yes. Meaning, first fruits, I know there's more to come. That's what the giving of first fruits is. It's that act of faith, that act of worship. I know there's more to come. Tithes, first fruits. Seed, that's your offering. Seed, that's your offering. That's sowing seed, offering. Not just in the house, but sowing seed when God speaks to you. Sometimes we like to give out of the knowledge of somebody's need. Can I help you with something? Sometimes God ain't trying to do that because there's a need. He just wants to bless them, just as you are blessed. God says, I just want to bless them. So I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you this. And then I need you to just give it to them. Tell them it's from me. Yeah, my Lord, it is good, isn't it? Yes, it is. Then there's alms. Alms is when you and I, and the scripture talks about alms being given to the poor. The scripture says, he that gives to the poor lendeth to God. So the guarantee with the tithe is, that God's going to always bring increase. He's going to open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessings that you would not have room enough to receive. The commitment of first fruits is, as you sow first fruits, out of your faith and trust in God, that God, I believe this is the first of many or more to come to me, he honors that. First fruits, say first fruits. See, this is what produced the overabundance in the temple. Then there's the seed. Seed denotes, brings forth harvest. You cannot outgive God. You can't outgive God. The more you sow, and you sow into good ground, that's the key. Good ground. The more you're going to have harvest. And then there's that of the alms. He that giveth to the poor lendeth to God. Meaning simply, God's going to repay that back to you. Whatever that amount is, that's coming back to you. Pastor Jamal shared about that not too long ago, how he gave and immediately that came back. Now that oftentimes is based on there's a need. Remember Peter and John at the gate, beautiful. The man at the gate crying out for alms, alms, alms. And they say, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we want to give you that. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. How many know that was better than the money? Yes, it was. And so I'm gonna stop right here. I feel like I've said a lot. Did it make sense to anybody? Is it making sense for your household? Is it making sense for your family? You see, these are the principles that we need to be able to teach those that we have the opportunity to speak into their lives. Again, whether it's your children, your grandchildren, those that you are guardian over. And can I help you with something? When they're young, when we're young, you don't understand it. Don't like it. My money is my money. I want to buy what I want to buy, when I want to buy it. But if you get it in them early, can I tell you something? Make them do it. Because what you're doing is you're building in a discipline. You're building in a discipline. And so on that note, heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, family that's watching by way of our live stream, I pray that this word is helping you as we have received what we believe to be our message for this house, aggressive kingdom advancement. I believe that in the seven spheres of cultural influence, family is key. It really is the first one. Because the way you're raised in your home, the way that you've been raised, impacts all of your life and the lives that you touch. And so I wanted to take the time to really touch on this area to the degree that I have, because finances is always a need. It's always a need. But God has made provision for us. And this principle of tithe, first fruits, seed, and alms works. If you steward it, you practice it, you discipline yourself in this area, you will have perpetual harvest. You will always have increase in your life, and you will be able to be a blessing to others. Amen. Would you thank God for his word?